The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey, it's Kyle Meredith, host of the Kyle Meredith With podcast, presented by WFPK at WFPK.org and the Consequence Podcast Network. It's a series that puts the spotlight on iconic musicians and actors, inviting them to drop by and talk about their latest projects, whether it's albums, TV shows, films, or beyond.
I'm going to say something I don't want to say. Here it goes.
Without Spinal Tap, there is no Tenacious D.
Whoa. Man.
We get great stories and the biggest scoops from people like Garbage's Shirley Manson, the 1975's Matty Healy, Jack Black and Kyle Gass of Tenacious D, Maya Hawke, Kiefer Sutherland, and everyone in between. New episodes arrive every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, so it's a great way to keep up with your favorite artists and discover some new ones. You can find Kyle Meredith With on the Consequence Podcast Network or wherever you get your podcasts.
Consequence Podcast Network.
It's almost surreal to think that a major music festival happened, but it did, albeit in Texas. ACL Fest Weekend 2 recap, which includes the silky smooth sounds of Mr. George Strait, Aaron Frazier, Duran Jones and the Indications, and an incredible sushi dinner. Plus, one of the acts at ACL Fest was Modest Mouse. Isaac Rock, one of the most interesting humans in the entire industry today. On the What Podcast, which bands this year that matter? Barry Corder, Brad Steiner, Lord Taco. It starts right now.
You're always trying to do your best.
And a glorious day to you. I'm Brad, Lord Taco, Barry Porter, the What Podcast. I cannot wait to talk about my ACL weekend. My God, guys, this dinner. Oh, man. Oh, man. I can't stop talking about this dinner that I had. And I'm not kidding about that. This dinner was incredible.
This is sushi, right?
Yeah, sushi. Yeah,
sushi.
Can't wait.
Yeah, it was my headliner. It was my headliner Saturday night.
Because when I'm thinking, you know, a podcast about festivals, about, you know, three guys that love festivals.
Yeah.
I can't wait to hear about the sushi dinner.
Gotta hear Dad talk about sushi.
Yeah. When I go to Austin, Texas, I love to get the sushi.
You think about sushi. What what have you guys been doing? How's everything going? What's new in Barry's life? What's new in Taco's life?
I'm down in St. Simon's with my daughter and son-in-law and a brand new baby. So,
hey Taco, do you find it odd that Barry Corder always seems to vacation near my mom's house?
I've been looking for that.
If you think about it. Yeah. Is there a hurricane watch put out?
The flags are up.
Have you seen Hurricane Linda since you've been down there?
We have not. The flags are out.
Okay, the flags are out.
It is kind of weird, isn't it, that your mom lives miles from my daughter, who is the only one in our family now who doesn't live in the Chattanooga area.
I mean, it's even stranger before the old lady moved, because she lived down the road, literally in the same neighborhood as Barry's family. I mean, it's just bizarre. Of all the places that you could have chosen.
Wow. You sure you all aren't related?
Dad?
they lived within a half mile of each other, didn't they?
Yeah. Pretty, I mean, you had to pass Barry's daughter's house to get to my mom's place. So strange. So you haven't seen mom, huh?
I haven't seen Linda.
I thought she'd been your first call.
Yeah, no, we're probably on the way out.
Okay, yeah. Directly out. On yeah. the way directly out. Look at the time.
We wave as you drive by, yeah. Gotta
go. What's Taco been doing? Except for going to, you know, wrestling bars.
Going to the wrestling bar, yeah. You like that?
I mean, I've never seen somebody enjoy just total shit like you do. It is just totally bizarre how much you love going to a wrestling bar in North Georgia.
Man, it's so much fun. And the funniest part is, so we pull up and haven't even gotten out of the bus yet. Still in the parking lot. And the guy comes up and he's knocking on the window. And I roll it down and he's like, hey, man, I'm sorry. You know, they just closed. We were playing. We were the band and we just finished. And so, you know, it's done. But he was like, but I'll give you a parking lot serenade. So he plays like the worst drunken cover of Every Rose Has a Thorn. And, you know, my mind was blown and I was like, thank you for that. And then we start to leave. And then he comes back and he's like, wait, I was wrong. They're still open. I was like, well, I thought so. The sign says open. So
Barry, we finally get in. Barry, he saw more music than I did at ACL.
I got a great story too. Is this they do professional wrestling?
Oh, come on. You're using that word really loosely.
I have a story is the reason that I asked. This is the honest to gosh truth. I worked at a funeral home when actually my wife was pregnant with my daughter that I'm here visiting. I needed a second job. And I got a job, and the first night there was a guy about my age who was also his first night. He's one of these guys that never stopped talking. He had a story about everything, you know, and an opinion and all that. And at one point he got on the phone and I realized he was talking to his wrestling partner. And they were talking about their upcoming match that weekend. And I realized they could only afford one mask. And my mind, I just pictured these guys tagging out and then sharing the mask.
I mean, that is a hysterical bit, though, if they did. Every time they tagged in, they'd take the mask off and put it back on.
That's what I told you.
That'd be hilarious.
I promise you, it was at that moment I realized I needed to start keeping a journal because this was going to be one of the greatest jobs ever.
Man, somebody call Vince McMahon because that is a really, really funny idea.
Man, you just can't make that up.
No, so I couldn't. That's why I said I got to write this down.
Yeah. The reason I brought it up is because Taco, in his neighborhood, for some odd reason, there is a bar/restaurant that's literally a wrestling ring that you walk. It's called, I think, the wrestling bar or something.
It's called Turnbuckles. And it's just down the road from my house.
Yeah. And so
I know where it is.
And when you walk in, there are dudes actually physically wrestling in the wrestling ring every time you walk in. They're taking shots, they're taking bumps, they're taking chairs. It's hysterical.
That's where Kevin wrestled.
Every time you send a picture of that place, no one is ever there except for the guys wrestling and you.
And me. Yeah. Isn't that great though? You don't have to worry about running into somebody or, you know, and they got PBR on draft.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Man. It actually sounds like a lot of fun.
It is.
And you get to yell and scream at him and hate him. Yeah, yeah.
There is a part of me as a kid who grew up on professional wrestling that has always wanted to get into the ring and just take a couple of laps, you know, just do the back and forth on the ropes.
Off the turnbuckle.
Yeah, I've wanted somebody to throw me into the turnbuckle. Because I've always sort of wanted that. You know, next time you're in town. I just don't want to, putting it on the list.
I've got a mask. We can share it.
Yeah. The PBR boys. So I went to ACL over the weekend. It was first festival since Lollapalooza. And I don't know what it was, but I felt more freaked out about COVID there than I did at Lollapalooza. I think maybe because I was just in Texas, you know, and everywhere else that you went, nobody gives a damn. And that feels a little freaky. Is it as, you know, tied up or as loose as I think it is? Not tied up, but as loose as I think it is in St. Simon's, Barry?
Oh yeah, it's loose. Mm-hmm. I think I've seen three masks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was really weird. And you know, the whole time, you know, you just take one of those moments where you cough or you stub your toe and like, do I have it now?
Yeah,
it's very strange. But you know, all that being said, you know, ACL, just it doesn't matter really. It's just like Bonnaroo in that it doesn't matter the lineup. It just feels right. The space always feels right. The energy is always good. You never seem to have a bad time there. And even though the lineup was, you know, short, it felt like, man, I don't think anybody gave a damn. It was a exceptionally great time. I'll start with the silky, silky, smooth sounds of maybe the best set I have seen in 2 years, Aaron Frazier. I am in love with this kid. I have a man crush on him. I am obsessed. Aaron Frazier is the drummer for Duran Jones, The Indications. Duran Jones, The Indications. Duran is ironically from New Orleans, lived in New Orleans as a kid, born in Lafourche Parish, I think. No, Ascension. He's born in Ascension Parish. And eventually made his way up to Ohio. I think it was Ohio or was it Indiana? One of those states. Met all the guys in the band, started the band, and now, you know, they've got, you know, some success. I think they're an incredible act. I think I saw them on Thursday in an early show, and you know, you can tell their newer stuff is a little bit more up and, you know, moving and get you dancing. The earlier stuff's a little bit you know, more in the 60s soul side of things, but either way, they are so good and they are so tight. Well, every now and then they turn it over to the drummer, and the drummer has this falsetto that is just unbelievable. And it was so good, Dan Auerbach from the Black Keys found it and did an album with him. And I remember when this album came out, mainly because it was Dan, and I listened to it. I'm like, man, this is really good. This is blue-eyed 60s doo-wop soul, and I can't get enough of it. You know how much I love soul music, mm-hmm. Barry. So I really liked the album. I put it away for a little while, and I saw him on the schedule. It's like, oh, he's going to do his own solo thing. Well, I didn't realize it was going to be only his second ever show with this group, and oh my God. Oh my God. I was chills. Every song, it was like Smokey Robinson. Nice. You know, it was like this kid just plucked out of nowhere with this beautiful falsetto, and everything was just so pitch perfect tight. Oh God. I turned around and you saw the entire Black Pumas. You saw all of Duran Jones. You saw a guy in Duran Duran. You guys, like, it felt like all of the artists knew what they had and they all came to see Aaron Frazier. It was nuts. Absolutely nuts. You couldn't have given me $100 to think that was going to be the show that I was going to remember.
Nice. Now, you probably said earlier, did you go because knowing you, you had to make an effort to go. So did you make an effort, or were you with people that said, we got to go see this one?
No. So I went to ACL because of the dinner. I'm not going to lie. I went to the dinner. But along the way, I said, well, if there are, you know, a few shows that I want to see, I want to see the Duran. That's why I got there on Thursday night, not Friday. I wanted to see Duran Jones in the after show. I wanted to see them versus from a club to a festival. And then I wanted to see Aaron Frazier.
Okay.
And if I got anything along the way, all in. That's cool. But along the way, speaking of silky smooth, sounds as good in 2021 as he did in 1982. Mr. George Strait was fantastic. There's no pretense on that stage. There's nothing that you need to, like, there's no giant Miley. It's just such a weird contrast. At the exact same time, Miley Cyrus is on the other side of the festival doing, you know, God knows what. But on the other side, it's just a man and a few guys with a guitar.
Yeah.
It was so simple, so silky, and it, you know, just like we thought, hit after hit after hit, and he still sounds great. You know, it's
what is it, three chords in the truth, right? Makes it work.
Yeah. And, you know, I just like, I always found it so charming when he would like, he's got this move where every time he hits like a note where he always says, hey, or like, he's got this pull away from the mic thing that he does that I find to be so cute. I don't know why I like it so much, but he's just got, he's got this move. And frankly, it's the only move he has. Like, there's not much other stuff going on, which I found it to be such a weird coincidence that Miley Cyrus is on the exact same time as him. So no Miley for me, Barry. But
I got you.
But I did go to the sushi dinner. I can't stop thinking about this dinner. So first off,
I can't wait. Yeah, start us off. So walk us through it.
Okay, so they only seat 10 people. And I can never get these words right. Omakase. Well, it's 17 courses, and it's only with you and 9 other people. And you got the sushi chef, you got her chef to her right and her chef to her left. The guy on the left is packing the sushi, or they're packing the rice, and the guy on the right is cutting the fish, and she's putting it all together and preparing it in these beautiful little ways. So you get 17 pieces. Now, along the way, you also get a sake pairing with every one of them. And then at the end, you get like a lamacha, and you can have an extra piece or two at the end of the dinner. Well, I've never been so hungry after a $500 dinner. was starving.
Well, now two questions. Did she?
But it was great.
Did she make the what is it? The volcano onion, and did she flip the sushi into your mouth?
Okay, that is not the same thing. That is a
because we tried to do that here.
You're going to Kampai of Tokyo. That's a different place.
Okay. Yeah. No, I obviously I know the difference.
There's just like the fish that she was choosing. First off, they're just so unique and so interesting, and she's doing so many weird and bizarre and brilliant things with them, like dried marigold leaves on top of you know, like the prawn. But you know, this fish is just butter. They taste like butter. You know, she's got them so well cured. Like, you just like they melt. How do you get fish like this? It was incredible. Plus, you know, she is incredibly charming, and she's telling the story about how she came up with all these recipes. She's the star of the show. I mean, you just listen to her tell the stories, and it's worth every penny. But then the weirdest thing, talk about a small world, Barry. The guy, her chef to her right, Chef Jeremy, owns a house 5 blocks away from my house.
Of course.
He was telling me, he's like, oh yeah, I'm a Treme guy. I'm like, where in Treme do you live? And he told me the address. I'm like, dude, I drive by that every day of my life to get to work.
Wow.
Every single day. I know that's exactly cool. The house that he lives in.
That's pretty cool. Tell me, 17 courses, were they all unique?
Yeah. Well,
tasted different.
I got one twice, and it was just it was like a little bit of a rearrangement the second time, because there were 2 meat pieces on there, and I don't eat meat. I'll eat fish. So she redid one piece specifically just for me, and it was the Toro. Oh, the Toro. I'll take it all day. I'll take that Toro all day. So that was incredible. Man, I had a great dinner at Laundrette the first night in front of Duran Jones. Man, that was then there's this incredible Italian place called Red Ash that I'm a pretty big fan of. There must have been Red Ash.
Sorry.
That we must have cleared through 10 bottles of wine. 10 bottles of wine.
Now it sounds like my week.
Yeah,
I'm with you.
I got home on Sunday. And Hillary picked me up from the airport. And it was late. I get in the car. She goes, damn, you smell like booze. I drank 2 nights ago. That's how much we poured it on. So the ACL experience, again, you know, I've always been pretty hard on Austin. But, you know, I was talking to some of the Austin people. They passed some sort of ordinance to do something about the homelessness. You know, it felt a little cleaned up. It felt a little bit more like you could, you know, walk around without, you know, tripping over literal people sleeping in the streets. But man, I still contend everyone in Austin looks like a J. Crew ad. I feel like I walk into J. Crew every time I'm in Austin. Everyone looks exactly the same. And not just that they look the same, they're wearing all the same things. They go to the same places. It's still a tad strange. Now, with all that being said, I don't know, Barry, if you've ever been to Austin, but The thing that I love so much about the city is that everyone seems to care a lot about the things that I care about, like design and making something look right. I mean, everything is cute. I'll put it that way. Everything is cute. You know, they even the Torchy's tacos are in incredibly brilliant spaces. You know, the details in that city, at least for, you know, user experience stuff, is fantastic. They're so well done.
So the gentrification hasn't ruined that yet. I know they were fighting.
The gentrification's all over the place. And it's just getting wider and wider and wider. And, you know, you get Elon Musk moving his entire operation to Austin. You know, all the software and the San Francisco is coming with him, you know.
Gotcha.
It was a great weekend, though. I'm trying to think of what else I saw that I thought was really interesting. I love Future Islands, and I hope one day to be able to talk to him because I find him to be unbelievably interesting. But I'm to the point where if you've seen the Future Islands show once or twice, I don't know how many more times I need to see that show. I love him. I love the band, but you know, I saw it again, and this is like the fourth or fifth time I've seen it. And it's just the same bit over and over and over. You know, it is fun though, at this point, to watch the crowd. You look around and you watch them see it for the first time, and they look around and like, what in the hell is this guy doing? He's ripping off a mask from his face. He's collapsing to the ground. You know, you can literally hear him beating his chest while he's singing. You know, he's punching himself in the face. You know, it's a very physical. He went to the wrestling bar. It was the wrestling bar on stage.
And he combined everything.
He's just sweating like a maniac. He's falling down to the ground. He's noises. It is a bizarre experience for a first timer. But now, after I've seen like four or five times, I got it, you know?
Yeah.
I got it.
Yeah. We've said that about a couple of bands, right? I mean, St. Paul and
I'm seeing St. Paul on Thursday. I'll see. I think that me and you have the exact same feeling about St. Paul, as much as we love them. But I think that show is very different in a small condensed space than the places that we've seen it in the last few years.
Yeah, no question. Yeah, it's a great show up close for sure. Yeah, I think we did Taco and I did Moon River. And then the only show I've seen since then was the Carlos Santana show, which was terrific.
Yeah. But you can't dance there. Dance police was out. You cannot do any dancing.
That's right.
Stay in your seat.
Yeah, stay stable. Don't move.
Yeah. We did talk about that. Yeah. So
yeah. What else did I really enjoy at ACL? Jade Bird, surprisingly, really, really good. She opened up for I saw Band of Horses in an after show. Jade Bird opened up for Band of Horses, and I thought that was incredible. I was blown away by how good Jade Bird was, because I thought every experience I've had with her has been this very low key, down tempo singer songwriter, adorable little pixie with an acoustic guitar. Oh my god, that was Texas, you know, Roadhouse sort of stuff. She was on fire in front of Band of Horses. I did not know that it was going to be that much of a, you know, I'm trying to do my as much Texas as I can barn burner. But and then Band of Horses comes on. All right, look, I said this to Isaac Brock in my chat with Modest Mouse, but I love Band of Horses. I really do. And you can't find an album that I love more than Funeral. I think their early stuff is incredible. Absolutely incredible. You could listen to that dude sing all day. But when the new stuff comes on, I just had this visceral, angry reaction. And I think it's all because of a song called In a Drawer. They did a song with Jay Maskus called In a Drawer that I swear to God, Taco, you can check the lyrics on double check my work here. But the lyrics literally go, I opened up a drawer, I looked in a drawer, I found it in a drawer, so I took it from a drawer. It is enraging. It's an enraging 4 minutes. Has there ever been something that makes you that angry that you listen to other than me? Is there a song that physically makes you angry?
Yes. Actually, there's an artist, Dave Matthews. I can't stand it.
What about it makes you mad?
I have no idea, but it is the only act, because his band is terrific, but he's the only act, and it's been this way for years. If I can be driving and in one of those, you know, hypnotic states where I'm not even paying attention, and something from the radio will worm its way in, and I will lunge for the radio dial.
But that's an entire artist. Wow.
Yeah. As far as a song, I can't think of one right off.
Is there any song redeeming from Dave Matthews that you like?
The ones where he just lets the band play. Yeah. The Warren Haynes, what is the song that Warren does with him? The Neil Young song,
So you have to hear Dave Matthews with someone else doing someone else's song for it to be passing for you. Okay.
Pretty much.
I really loved Crosby, Stills, and Nash when Crosby and Stills wasn't there. It was great.
When they had guest artists.
It was just Graham Nash. Loved them. Loved them.
Yeah. No, yep. There's a few like that, but Oh, We Built This City. That's a song that I hate.
I love that song.
I hate that song. I
was about to say, that's my favorite song.
Yeah.
Good for you. It's one of those I feel like the band of that stature should have known better.
That's the point that I was about to make, in that you guys are so good at this, and yet you put out that. That you keep playing it, thinking it's one of your bigger hits.
Yeah.
I mean, they legitimately love this song. They love it. They love playing it. They love the audience seems to like it. It still gets played on satellite radio. It is enraging, this song. I mean, I get the message of it. It's a message about, like, you know, finding an old picture of your dad, your grandpa, and it harkens you back to times of your past and makes you feel, you know, that feeling that you originally felt in the picture. I get the whole gist of it, but opened up a drawer, found it in a drawer, looked in a drawer, and I grabbed it from a drawer, closed in the drawer, then opened the drawer. And then opened the drawer. It is just hokey nonsense.
Yeah, I got it. And Mr. Roboto would be another one. And that one's funny to me because Tommy Shaw and the rest of the band won't play it anymore. Really? They hate it too.
Yeah.
Yeah. There are some, sure.
But you're talking about major hits. This was like a mediocre hit.
I understand.
Just keep hanging on to, and I, But the point that I'm making is, like, I get a lot of pushback from Band of Horses fans on this, and I understand why. But for me, whenever they try to be a rock band, it doesn't work a lot of times for me. But when they go back to Funeral, maybe I'm just so partial to that album that I can't really hear them any other way. And that might be on me, but man, when they start trying to be a rock band, I'm just like, sing me a ballad. Make me sad.
Yeah.
I'd rather sad stuff.
Go back to George Strait a little bit, I guess. We hyped that up so much 6 months ago. Mm-hmm. We said, what's he got? 53 number ones. He's the Guinness book. He can't do them all. what was the set and the crowd? I mean, was it just one, everybody singing along from start to finish? Or?
So I'm glad you brought that up, because there was something different about ACL Fest that is unlike anything else in the country. You can bring chairs.
Yeah,
it was different. It's a lot of sitting and singing. The crowd was definitely sitting and singing. So deep in the heart of Texas, of course, is the way that he started it. There were songs there that I did not know. I kind of thought that it would be nonstop hits of stuff that I knew. It turns out I don't know the entire George Strait catalog. To me, you can shut the whole thing down. I can still make Cheyenne. It's one of my favorite songs of all time. He played that really, really early. I loved Carried Away. I think the voice still carries with Carried Away. And then, you know, I won't lie, I didn't make it for the second hour.
I didn't make it
for the second
hour. 2 hours.
I feel like I got a good hour into it. I think that I probably got to, damn it, what is the name of that song? Amarillo by Morning. I never heard Amarillo by Morning. So
did it feel like a curated?
I missed probably a bunch of his actual hits. Cause I, you know, once I heard Carried Away, I was like, I've heard the two that I love.
Yeah. Well, that kind of answers. So did it feel like a curated set, or just to feel like a,
you know, I don't think that George Strait's, you know, going off the cuff too much. You know, I think it's pretty tight. I don't know if he's, you know, just walking around the stage like, all right, let's do this one.
Yeah. Stay with me, boys. Follow me. Yeah. I gotcha.
Did I hear Check Yes or No? I wonder if I heard Check Yes or No. I don't remember. Man, I mean, I hope I didn't leave as early as I did hear Check Yes or No. Yeah. Okay. I'm looking at the set list right now. I just found it. Check Yes or No was 6. I don't know how I missed that. So I got through. Yeah. I didn't get to Amarillo by Morning. He played it way late in the set. I was gone probably about an hour.
Okay.
You know, and the other thing too is the other thing I wish that I heard more of. I kind of like him when he's a storyteller, and I don't feel like I got a lot of that. You know, but you know, you're just never going to see George Strait again. So
yeah,
it's about all I wanted. You know, you give me Carried Away and Still Make Cheyenne, I'm going to be a pretty happy guy.
Cool.
The other thing I have for you this week is, I have re-sparked my love with Modest Mouse. I know that, I don't know if you've heard the big hit that they've had this year, We Are Between. It's on the new album Golden Casket. So when the album first came out, I was like, you know, I don't know, Modest Mouse, the last couple albums have just been okay. Man, I love this new album so much. It feels like they are so inspired again. And, you know, the impetus of this album was, how can I just go in there and make a whole bunch of noise and make a song out of it? Literally, he's banging on a Coke can in one of the songs. So I just fell in love with the album, and I saw the show at ACL. And then they did a show for me last night at the Fillmore in New Orleans. I just love Isaac Brock so much. He is such a unique and bizarre and smart and thoughtful dude, all while being fun and playful. I didn't anticipate this, Barry, but last night I just walked in to say, hey, Isaac, thanks for the interview. I'll just get a picture. Didn't say thank you for the interview. Never got the picture. We sat there and talked for an hour and a half. Wow. You know,
you should probably tell people who are just tuning into the show and don't know what, when you say he did a show for me, what you mean.
For the radio station. Yeah. Yeah. So
you probably let people know.
Just for me. That's what I do. I literally
did he make sushi as well for you?
I found him at a wrestling bar and he was in the parking lot.
Was he flipping burgers?
Yeah. Yeah. So they did a show for the radio station, 2,200 people. They sold out. It's one of the few shows that have stuck through the fall. Mainly because they're one of the one shows that sold out.
That'll do it.
It was a great crowd. I thought the set was incredibly tight. They sound as good as they've ever sounded. Isaac feels inspired. I don't know. I just had such a great time with it. And I kind of wish I would have been, I don't want to say more prepared, but more prepared for my conversation with him. Because thinking about it now, after I've talked to him for an hour and a half, I have so many more questions for him. And now I've gotten re-sparked with this guy and this band, and it's made me go back and listen to all the old stuff. And now I want to do the interview over. Mm. I want to do over. Mm. I've got so many more questions and more interesting things to talk about. But with all that being said, it was still a fine chat, and I'm going to play it for you now, if you don't mind. And then we'll wrap it up for the day. If there's anything else we need to get to before we get to Modest Mouse.
No, sounds great.
Okay.
Sounds great.
Let's do it.
Modest Mouse, Isaac Brock on the What Podcast. Oh, hello there, friend. This is Brad Steiner.
I'm Barry Corder.
After you check out the latest episode of the What Podcast, be sure to check out some of the other great programs on the Consequence Podcast Network, including
Rootsland. It's an original story of two friends who take a musical and spiritual journey from the suburbs of Long Island to the streets of Kingston, Jamaica.
Or Kyle Meredith With, where you can find interviews with all of your favorite musicians and bands. Hosted by our guy, Kyle Meredith. New episodes air weekly on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Head to consequence.net to listen to these podcasts and many great others. I'm so excited about this. It's kind of strange to say it, but, you know, since you guys have been around since 1996, you know, you've been like a thread in my life this entire time. Yesterday at ACL, if I'm not mistaken, your first ACL was 2004 or 5 with Float On. And then now you're back at ACL 15 years later in front of Jack Harlow and Billie Eilish. Two people who probably were, 3, 4, 5 years old. That has got to be a really weird sort of mind screw for you.
I try not to let it get into my head, you know, which is to say it should and it doesn't.
Is there something refreshing, though, about it? It could send you down a dark path, but the refreshing part of it is that you're still there. You know, you're still as relevant as ever.
I mean, yeah, it's... Dude, honestly, it's all the same to me. Like, it doesn't. I'm a pretty big Billie Eilish fan, so you know, so that's exciting.
Yeah.
Things like that. You get to watch how we're a band. We all get up there and we, you know, like, just bang it out and try and figure out how to do a live show. Then you watch something that's like kind of more pop based, and it's like, how are they going to do this? Because, you know, it's still got to be entertainment. If it's like one person singing, that is fascinating to me.
Who else did you see other than Billy over the weekend?
Honestly, the only thing I saw from the front of the stage was Billie Eilish.
Yeah.
Reason being, not a big fan of crowds, ironically.
I can understand. Turns out, yeah, none of us are in 2021 these days. It's
right,
not where we want to be.
I beg to differ, man. There looked like there's a lot of people who are pretty happy.
Well, also, Texas doesn't seem to understand COVID's happening. I don't know if I saw a mask the entire weekend. It was a bizarre. I mean, you get plucked out of New Orleans and dropped into the middle of Texas, and nobody seems to give a damn about anything that's happening in the world. Was kind of weird.
Yeah, that was making some people a little edgy on the tour and things. I'm bizarrely optimistic. So,
what has it been like touring inside of this COVID thing?
Yeah, I mean, we kind of like set up a system that of our own that kind of keeps us pretty safe. And so, you know, like, it's tricky from town to town, venue to venue, state to state. The rules are different, so that, you know, the stakes are higher or lower. Mm-hmm. and things, but we're, you know, we're pretty realistic about the fact that if one of us gets on the bus with COVID, we've just tanked it, you know, and possibly like those ripples might even go a little farther than just our own situation. It might, you know, might affect other people. So we've kept this as a pretty insular tour, which is fine for me.
Yeah.
And whatnot, you know, like,
I mean, for the anti-crowd guy, yeah, this is working for you.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like, I haven't noticed. I mean, before COVID, I rarely went in the building except for to play. It's because I don't like being in, you know, like, yeah, kind of sterile buildings. I end up hanging out in the parking lot.
I think that might be a name of a Modest Mouse song, hanging out in the parking lot. I'm such a big fan of yours and the band's, I think, is because of a point that you touched on a second ago. There's no pretense. Like, I don't feel like I'm ever being talked down to. I don't ever feel like I'm being, it feels real and weird all at the same time, which is almost the reason why Golden Casket works so well. Feels optimistic, dare I say? It feels like you might be happy.
Well, you know, in all fairness, you know, like, just, I have a tuna 4-year-old, and I had to correct myself a few times and just, and, you know, be like, look, Mr. Cynical, like if you brought two people to the planet, and you're just gonna, you know, like, cast shade on it the whole time, like, what do you got to offer? Like, what are some positive inputs to this and things? Can you with a clear conscience actually even be optimistic? And I decided yes I could. It actually required me to do a little work on myself, and also, you know, like, I was recording and writing this record during this pandemic, and I'm sure as hell no, I didn't want to, you know, like, I don't know, toss gas on the fire of depression and such and things. And so I started looking past that to see what I did like that I saw.
When you look and see how much optimism, you bring a 2 and a 4-year-old into the world, right? And
right.
You start I don't have children, so I don't know what this click is like. What is the click when you say to yourself, well, I do have something to feel optimistic about, and you do that deep dive, almost like a body check from body scan from top to bottom? Maybe you were pretty optimistic to begin with, right?
No, we've got a long road to hoe, man, as far as, like, you know, blind optimism, where it's just like, I choose to be optimistic because that is a nicer way to be, versus there are solutions even if we haven't figured them out and whatnot, and it's worth doing. And that's kind of where I landed, is that all our worrying and hand wringing is, you know, probably not enough, but we can make a good world for people in the future if we want.
How the kids doing now? Where are they right now?
They're at home.
Yeah,
they're at home. They're doing great. I mean, I brought them out as much as I could.
Do they get into this kind of stuff? Do they like this? Do they like you playing a soda can in the studio?
Well, they really get excited by shows. That's like,
okay.
It's pretty phenomenal. And so now they put on their own little concerts at home. One of them doesn't even really know words, so they're really good.
I always found you to be playful to begin with. Do you think that having children has made you even more playful, even as a songwriter, as a composer?
No.
Have children made you sillier?
I'm trying to be sillier because it's funner. But I go between being like, you know, trying to like change myself into someone who speaks properly and uses, you know, like, uses the proper name for everything, because I don't want to blow it for them and have them, you know, like, see it and, you know, just making the D in school or something because I thought it was cute not to know what, you know, like, to nickname everything. So and then at the same time, yeah, you want to be more fun.
So Isaac, I'll give you a that's a good lesson to have with the children, because my father used to have this running joke. And for the period of until I was 13, 14 years old, he would laugh. He goes, "Oh, that hurts me in my ovaries."
And he didn't get it till when?
And it took me till a mid-teenager to realize I said that in response to them in the moment, just like Dad would. And the Hancocks were like, what did you just say?
Yeah, I got in a lot of trouble because of that sort of stuff too. I actually was remembering that I had this dude my mom dated after a divorce had all these cute cartoon t-shirts, and I did not know what they meant, and I got like I'd have to get on different like save a tree, eat a beaver. Had no idea what was going on there and things. Even when I was getting reprimanded for it, I'm just like, I'm not getting it. Like, apparently we don't.
I had a t-shirt one time that said Pat McCrotch across the front of it, and I wore it to...
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, it was, and I wore it to school. I thought it was just a friend of my dad's. I thought it was just like a pal. Right. No, it was not a real person.
Yeah, I didn't know that t-shirts could be trouble.
Yeah, big trouble. I do want to just touch a second again on the new album. Because I can't stop listening to it and thinking about it, this is not uncommon for you to just start pulling shit out of thin air and playing it on an album. But does it feel like you did more of that this time than you've done in the past?
And the end
point of this is, I just don't understand where these things start for you and then how they get to where they are.
That sentence kind of says it all, because I didn't either. I didn't have the patience to like want to sit down all of the Beatles or whatever and like craft a song on a guitar. I just wanted to make interesting noises and see if they could become a song and whatnot. And you know, like the thing is like, before we did end up putting like chords of some actual instrument on, it was just interesting. There was, it wasn't necessarily music, you know, but it was really fun. It's like, and you start like, it's really just through repetition. Now, there's this lady, she teaches about like illusion, sounds of, illusions created by sound. And one of the things that happens is almost anything, like if you were to just say, take a few words from any sentence we've said and just loop it, it becomes music.
Yeah.
And whatnot. And that goes the same for like banging on a bowl. If you loop it and you got the time right, all of a sudden there's music there. And it's really, really fun. I've gotten into a during the process, before I even started working on this record, I'd spent, better part of like a few years just trying to learn like forensic software and for sound audio. And it does that thing where you'll be looping something, and I'll be like, that's a song. I should sample that. That's a song. I should sample that. And it's completely non-musical. I mean, this is just like taking like the audio from a room, and things, and then looping it and trying to dig out interesting stuff.
Yeah,
there was music.
Yeah, I mean, so James Murphy did it with the LCD sound system. He took the fan that is above his head in his bedroom and turned that into a song on the new album.
The Beast Boys did a lot, or the Dust Brothers, the producers for the Beast Boys, people like that, that there's a lot of that.
Yeah,
a lot of that going on. It's really cool.
What song on the album is closest to where it started?
Back to the Middle, easily. Okay. To the Middle was something that I wrote in a very traditional way, and I produced it, and we produced it in a very traditional way. There was no, all elements of it existed prior to studio type thing.
Say that consciously? Like, I need to have something that has some basic structure on this, or did you just
talk
it the most?
No. It was, it wasn't, I didn't go in there with, I have to go, there was something I needed to fix, but in order to feel like I was showing up to the show with something that we didn't have to ask what is. Here it is. This is obviously a song. And let's move on and get weird.
Yeah, and
kind of breaks the ice for something. Like, takes a little bit of tension away from the process to know that you at least have something.
Well, yeah, I mean, but I don't. It's not something you had to do. It's just something that you felt it was, you know, a responsibility.
I don't have to do anything. I could actually put out a record of just fan sounds that aren't musical. It's just not what I want to do or what people that listen to me necessarily want to hear. So
I do think it would be fascinating to hear some of the first rounds of cuts, though. Man, oh man,
I'm actually working on. I'm working on something, an Inside Out record of this. Because so many of the crazy sounds, like, because they weren't necessarily music, you know, or like they were taking up too much real estate for singing and something else to happen. And I just want to, like, I really want to do something that really, like, contrasts all the really cool, weird stuff that gets buried or, like, you know, some gets cut just because you don't have so much weird stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that idea. Speaking of weird stuff, I think that I find you to be really brave with your song titles. And I wonder if you, I wonder how much trolling you're doing sometimes or how What's much, that? Well, like for instance, do you ever put in, because your song titles are so odd, right? And they're so off of the beaten path of what a normal person, a normal album you pick up in a store, right? I wonder if there's secret messages hidden in some of these song titles. Like, there's Guilty Cocker Spaniels is my favorite song title of all time, right? I wonder if you start with an idea that is so strange and then you sort of like work it around backwards from there.
That one, you want to know the honest to God truth?
Okay.
Lifted it from literature. Okay. Yeah, that was that one sentence right there, Guilty Cocker Spaniels, was from a poetry book that someone wrote called Drunk by Noon and Things. And then none of the rest of it, but that one part. So, oops. Now we know. I wish you'd picked any other one.
Doing the cockroach.
Okay. Yeah, that one was that one was easy.
Yeah.
It's the latest, you know, I don't know.
Okay, so what you're telling me without telling me is that there is a method to the words that you choose to identify these pieces of art and work that you do.
Absolutely, absolutely. Okay. They are not random.
Okay,
they're part of the story.
And well, that makes it even more fun.
And stuff. I try not to do anything where I name a song something that doesn't take place in the song because it's freaking confusing. Yeah. Otherwise, yeah. Then you're in danger of like getting into the pretentious art zone.
Yeah,
where it's like, you know, the song's called The Chair, and you just describe places that have chairs.
Isaac, don't get me started on what is the song that I hate and loathe more than anything, and I love the band so much. I found it in a drawer. I opened up a drawer. I looked in a drawer, and I got it in a drawer. Band of Horses literally has a song with Jay Maskus in a drawer. I can't, for the life of me, understand why people like this song. It makes me physically angry just to think about it.
I'll ask Ben next time I see him.
I love them so much, but man, that song makes me so angry. I had to walk away from the show yesterday. I couldn't.
Oh, really? I honestly am not familiar with this song, although those series of words, I guess drawer isn't a good repetitive word, because it did.
Well, I'm very excited. The Modest Mouse show in New Orleans at the Fillmore. It is one of the few shows that we have this fall. We had a lot scheduled, and so many have gone by the wayside. But you guys have kept yourself healthy and kept yourself on the road, and I can't wait for it. I think that you guys have hit, you know, some sort of like next level inspiration right now, and I'm just so excited to see it. You know, now for the third time, I'm really really happy about it.
I'm really looking forward to being there. I love New Orleans.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, yeah.
What's your favorite spot?
Favorite spot? The last time we went there, me and my family got an Airbnb, and I don't even know what neighborhood it was out of. It was out of town. There was a giant sinkhole in front of the place, and I just the neighborhoods are so nice. I don't know.
Yeah,
there's something really. It's just a special place all around. I like getting to boat around, you know, like the swamps and such, and bayous and things.
Isaac Brock. One of the most interesting human beings in this entire industry. Modest Mouse on the What Podcast, Lord Taco, Brad Steiner, Barry Quarter. I'll just put it this way. Go see Modest Mouse if you can. You know, I think there are sometimes in the years past, a set has not been the best, or this work, this did, this didn't, whatever. But I feel like they're really in the pocket right now. So, they're at Shake and Ease, right, Taco? What weekend is
correct.
That?
Correct. That's in two weekends. It's October 22nd to the 24th, and they're playing Sunday.
Yeah. Do it.
Yeah.
It's totally worth it. I find them to be so, so good. And the other thing, too, about them, they work in every space. I don't care if it's an arena or a theater or a bar or a festival. That sound works anywhere.
Can't say that about everybody.
Yeah,
that's true.
Sure.
Yeah, and the other thing too is, although some of the songs are very weird, like, you know, but I find like all of them are catchy enough for a non-fan to get it. So I was with a non-fan last night, and she was like, "Oh, I didn't realize that was them. Oh, I really like that song. Wow." And he said in the interview, you know, we try to have enough to get to the weird stuff. You know, I think of it a lot like the Coen brothers. The Coen brothers do a movie for the industry so that they can get the nomination. Then they can do the movies that they really want to do.
Yeah,
that's right. That's cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. All right. There you go. Good.
Go see Modest Mouse. Anything. What's a vacation? What else you got on schedule for the vacation, Barry?
We're here for another day or two. Going to get back Friday evening so we can have a couple of days to ourselves.
Are you beaching? Are you sitting out and
you know, that's the thing about this beach down here. There's really not so much a beach. No, we're doing a lot of eating, a lot of bike riding and sightseeing.
You're not going out to places there.
We are. We're going to go to the Oyster Bar tonight and maybe one place tomorrow. But no, Kelly's cooked. Zach is cooked. Yeah, we like to go to the store. It's not
the culinary capital of the world. I'll put it that way.
They've got a couple of decent places.
They've got a couple of good spots.
Yeah. It's not New Orleans.
Do you go across the causeway to Brunswick at all to eat?
Never to Brunswick. We went to Jekyll for the first time last time we were here and had brunch at the where the Rockefellers
hotel. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God. That whole place is amazing.
There are a couple of spots across the causeway in Brunswick that are actually really good. There's this one place called the sea shanty or something like that. Terrific lunch. The other thing is they've got a brewery there. I've only had one of their beers, but their space is super, super fun.
Is that like Silver Bluff? Is that the one?
It might be. It's right there. So the downtown area is only like, you know, four square blocks,
right?
But it's right there in that downtown area. Go over. It's worth the 2 hours that you're going to spend in the day.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Give it a go. It's a nice. And
the last section of the boat is, they're working on it for people who are familiar with seeing that. It's so strange. The boat that.
We lost Barry. But what he's talking about is there was a crashed boat. They've been trying to extract it for 2 years. And you can see parts of it there. When you drive by, it's very odd. I think that's our cue, Taco. Frozen Berry, I think, is our cue.
No.
All right. There you go. The What Podcast. Talk to you next week. Love you. Bye.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.